Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting of October 11th, 2021. Can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Garcia.
Yes.
Millen is absent. Reifstack.
Yes.
Schumacher.
Yes.
Schimpf.
Yes.
Walter.
Yes.
Chacon.
Yes.
Crawford is absent. And Forrestal.
Yes.
Thank you.
Recognition of our visitors. We have Judy Summerall and we have Danny from the Friends of the Library. And we have Shelley Augustine, our director, who's with us as well. Do you have any presentations? No, not tonight. If we can go over the minutes, and can I get someone to make a motion after we go over the minutes? Policy Committee meeting for Wednesday, September 8th at 6 p.m. And motion to approve the Board of Trustees meeting Monday, September 13th as presented. Roll call.
Yes. Reifstack.
Yes.
Schumacher.
Yes.
Schimpf.
Yes.
Walter.
Yes.
Chacon.
Yes.
Forrestal.
Yes.
And Garcia.
Yes. Do we have any correspondence? Public comment? We'll hear from public comments. Friends of the Library report?
Yes. I will let Shelley tell you about the Community Fest when she does her report. But she did an excellent job and logged in over 15,000 steps on Saturday. She was sweating from 9 o'clock in the morning. I gave her a hug first thing in the morning and she was sweating, and when I left at 4:15 or whatever, she was still sweating. She was just running all over the place. But anyhow, it went well for their first attempt. And I want to especially thank the board members who volunteered to help. Russ helped, Theron helped, Ryan was there and helped all day, and Susan and Daniel. Susan is a board member, Daniel is a friend of the library. They both attended the event, so I'm really glad that we have library board support on that. I want to give you the final total for the used book sale, because last time we had started the Summer's Inn book sale, and we made $733 just on that Summer's Inn, what was in the hallway. So altogether, we made $8,721.25 on the book sale. So we're really pleased about that. We are, this morning at the Friends meeting, we had 14 people. and one on Zoom. We approved money for the children's equipment. They need a new 3D printer, some other things, and also money for the winter reading challenge, and that was $550. The Friends gave $100 for Genevieve's new chair yoga program, which will start, so watch, because you can register for that. That'll be a limited number of people. That'll be starting for November and December as a trial to see how it goes. And then also we approved $588 for the book page.
Publication.
I don't know what to call it.
Like a monthly magazine.
If you haven't picked one up, they're free because we paid for them. And they're always at the checkout area. They're very popular and very good. I'm putting together the Friends of the Library directory for the next year. We make that in alignment with our fiscal year, which started October 1st. So if you haven't joined Friends yet, you need to get it done soon, very, very soon, like now, so you can be included in the directory. Shelley approved the Friends of the Library always have a traditional holiday lunch, where it's not only for all of the Friends, but we invite all of the library staff. We all get together and have lunch together. So she approved that, which would be our first one. And yeah, we missed last year. The year before, we were okay. So we're happy to do that. And we also have new officers as of today. The new president is Tiffany Forrestal. The vice president is Sharon Mix. And Sue Smithmeyer, who has been the treasurer, she will continue on. Usually the treasurer, we have that person in office for 4 or 5 years before we rotate them out, just for safety and security reasons. So, we had a busy day this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. No staff comments unless Kelly wants to. You have something on the staff?
No. All I wanted to do was commend the staff, Shelly, the staff, everybody. Ryan's wife, they did an outstanding job for this community event on Saturday. Well received. It was outstanding. And they were there. They were visible. It was a great time.
Yes. My son said it was the best time ever at the library.
Oh. Yeah.
It was a fun day. Yeah, it's all time.
Okay. Report of the treasurer.
Okay. So, first thing is that we're 42% done with our fiscal year, but we're at, as always, about 97-98% of our income because of the way that we receive our property taxes. So, slim pickings from here until April 30th. But we are really good on all of our expenses. We're right online. Some of the coding was messed up, so that's why we have the different sheet. The other thing that's great is development fees continue to be high, and we're at 120% already of our budget. So that's great.
That's good.
So good to see.
Anything else that stuck out to you? So,
that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice
morning. If we can look over our bills and get a motion to pay our bills.
Oh, I did. When I asked why there's a $63 credit, it just looks funny in the accounts payable from our list.
It was a bill that was paid twice.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Now I'm really done.
Okay, can you make a motion to pay the bills? Treasurer, motion to pay the bills?
Sure. I move that we pay our bills, our accounts payable totaling $13,994.89, and our payroll totaling $37,716.95 for a total of $51,711.84.
Second. Roll call?
Yes. Reichstag?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Shimp?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Thank you.
And now we'll have the report of our director.
All right, so as you know, we had our Community Fest yesterday, so I just wanted to go over a few things and notes that we had kind of taken from it. Luckily, I was here at 8:30 in the morning because the, and I want to start by saying that the Tim Evans and the Parks and Rec crew were excellent with helping us with whatever we needed. Tim kept checking in on us. Are you okay? Do you need anything from us? He even came the day of, but that was probably a lot of it. Well, no, it's not. He was going to come anyway, but I feel really bad because he had to field a lot of phone calls because of the parking logistics. It was kind of a nightmare. When I got here at 8:30, the cars were coming in like crazy for baseball. So I had to try to block off a portion of the football parking lot for our fest for the food trucks and the Toucha truck. And in doing so, it created a dead end that because someone parked right at the rope.
Oh, no.
So they pulled in, and they couldn't get out. So they had to back out, and it created a nightmare.
That's not
so
fun.
This was my first try, our first try at parking logistics, so we definitely learned a lesson there. We thought we were good with no school that day, and we checked with the school, and they didn't have any functions going on, but that parking for baseball is intense. But on the upside from that, I took myself and another staff member, and we went over to the baseball park and talked to all of the parents and handed out flyers and had them come over afterward. After they were done with baseball. So, since you're already parked here, come on over. So it was nice because we did get to see a lot of people that we normally don't see in the library, and that was really one of our main goals, was to get people in here that haven't been in here, that are not familiar with the library.
We get a lot of new cards?
I had checked early in the morning and we had done 7 already. So,
that's good.
Not bad. I didn't get a chance to talk with Tim Shemp. He was up in our quiet reading room doing story time. He was our first reader.
Yes.
And I had heard people say, well, I didn't know this room would existed. Mm-hmm. So that was another point of laying it out the way we did, was to get them to through the library to see all locations and what we offer in that. So, but there's a downside to that as well, because they could be isolated up in that corner. And so I'm not sure how we'll handle that again next year. We'll be doing things differently.
Or taking them out.
Yeah. So it's a learning experience. We did print out 100 maps, and the maps the kids were taking to each station and getting stamped and then turning that in for prizes and that. So I printed 100 and we passed out almost all of them. I think I had 12 left.
That's good.
So I thought that was good because we didn't pass them out to everybody. We passed them out to families, but some families had 3 kids in it, so the 3 kids got it. So it was really hard to determine how many people we had there because it was outside as well. Otherwise, we would use our door counter.
Yes.
So, but, you know, for the first try, it was a good experience. I put David and Brian and Tiffany were out in the parking lot doing that. So thank you for that. That was a rough job. So next year we might think about doing it right after school ends as kind of a kickoff to our summer reading. We think that might be a better time frame to do it versus in the fall, because a lot of fall festivals are happening this time of year. So we're thinking about that. Okay. We collected 477 food items for our Food for Finds drive this year, so Cheryl just dropped those off at the food pantry today. We also had our art and poetry program in September. That was a program that was put on hold because of COVID. The program consisted of 15 authors that created poems, and then we paired them with an artist who created a piece of art based on that poem. So then we had a poetry and art day where the poems were read and then the art was revealed, and then we had kind of a mix and mingle afterwards. So that was really exciting. Everyone enjoyed themselves, and we think we'll continue to do that one as well. Let's see, Pharmacy Farm Stand in Newark reached out to us to do a story time out at their facility, which Jeanette did a couple weekends ago, which if you follow us on Facebook, you saw all those pictures there. She also brought back our Lego program, but she's doing it a little different this year where it's, she's creating a theme, and you come and pick up your kit of blocks, and you build the object for that theme, and then you bring it back to the library, and then they're on display for everyone. We are going to be participating in the Blue Food this year. I did reach out to the city to see if they could provide us with candy that they get donated from Wrigley, but they haven't heard from Wrigley yet, so they're still working on that. So I said, please keep us in mind as well. We are doing our annual Kids Halloween program on October 28th this year, and staff will also compete with a costume contest. They like that, I guess. So our three new hires are working out excellent. One of them was at, well, actually two of them were at the festival on Saturday. One jumped in, grabbed the iPad, and was posting pictures, and just did a great job. And she's even come to me and asked about possibly seeing if she could do a computer class program. So,
something we never know.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, very, very nice. The other one that works in children's, she has stepped up and started a Harry Potter book club for kids. So they're just working out better than I had ever anticipated. So I'm so happy. Jeanette's doing a Paying for College Without Going Broke webinar that will be held on November 16th at 6:30, and you can register online for that. Our Director of Youth or Adult Services is creating three new reoccurring programs. As Judy talked about, she's going to be doing a chair yoga program twice a month, and she's already has an instructor lined up that the friends are going to pay for. And she's also going to be doing a walking book club. So she's starting that October 22nd and then two dates in November. And then it'll probably be cold and we'll take a break until spring and she'll start that walking book club back up again. And then she's also going to be doing a book buddies reading group with AID, it's the Association for Individual Development here in Yorkville. So she will be doing reading books at their level for, and just engaging them in reading. They've been coming in as a group now, and they were supposed to come in today and all sign up for library cards. They didn't show up for some reason, but we're ready for them when they do come. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. We didn't discuss this at the Friends meeting. That will be next month. We're looking at joining a virtual programming group called Illinois Libraries Presents. It's a Rails group that brings current event programs on social justice issues and DEI and otherwise programs that are expensive for little libraries, and they're doing the cost determining on, based on their budget. And they're looking to hold maybe 6 to 12 virtual programs in 6 months. And they will also provide the marketing materials for these programs, which is awesome.
Oh, that's good.
So I think based on our budget, 6 months would be about $350 to $375 for the 6 months. So I'll be putting that on our agenda for next month to discuss, and because there's a form that the board has to sign. So I just wanted to put that out there that that's coming. Let's see here if I can read all this stuff. Genevieve has reached out to our senior center to look at partnering with them on doing a, finding a speaker for dementia and Alzheimer's for the caregivers for those people. And they're very receptive of something like that, so she'll be working on that as well. Let's see here. As far as the building goes, Cicerco, who you guys have approved our building automation control system, they have finally scheduled a tentative date for us for November 1st. I reached out to them again saying another month has gone. So that it looks like it's going to be September, November 1st for that. Our phone system has finally been installed and all of our open-ended issues have been addressed. So those bills will be coming next month.
Even with the ones
from July to now.
And even the ones that you checked that were not supposed to be on there, the lines?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We had a leak. A leaky ceiling tile in the children's department, so I called the city to come over and look at that, and the city has hired a new maintenance person, Ted Milchewski. I believe that is Jackie's husband. Mm-hmm. And so he's been here a couple days. He replaced light bulbs for us, and he addressed some of my clogged gutters, which was very nice. So it looks like he's someone that we might be able to reach out and call for little things like that. He got on the flat roof and unclogged the drain for us, which I think was causing our leaky ceiling tile issue. We're going to keep an eye on that. Had RJ O'Neill out for a visit to calibrate a sensor on our chiller. He said it didn't do exactly what he was expecting it to do. So he's going to investigate a part, but he said he didn't think it would be too costly. So you'll see that bill come through next month. We had the carpets cleaned on Saturday, or Friday, September 24th. So there was lots of nasty spots here, and they're all clean, and it smells nice. So that bill will be coming
as well.
Let's see here. Our website went live October 5th. So I hope you guys all had a chance to check that out. That was a very big project, and staff did a great job with adding content to that. And lastly, we have been awarded the Expanding Digital Inclusion Transforming Library Services grant that Genevieve has applied for.
Awesome.
In the amount of $9,280.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that grant will cover us purchasing 10 hotspots, 5 laptop hotspot kits. It covers their warranties, their cases, the data plan for the year, and our consultant fees, which is our IT guy. It will cover part of his fees as well, and some indirect administration costs as well. Thank you. So Genevieve has also reached out to the Kendall County Food Pantry, so they are going to help us promote those laptops. It's for people that do not have access to technology or the internet at home. They'll be able to check these kits out for, I want to say, a 2-week period. And Genevieve wanted to make sure you guys were okay with the 2-week period because she was kind of basing her projections on a 2-week period. And in the grant, she had to propose how many people that might reach in that. So that's what we're going to go with right now. And she's developing policies.
I was gonna ask about that.
Right, because they'll have to sign a waiver when they check it out to say that this is a valuable item, this is what it's worth, and I'm responsible for this.
Okay.
She did purchase extended warranties on the laptops as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
council representative here tonight, so we will, many of the committees did not meet. So we're all good on that. So then we're going to go on to unfinished business, which is our camera system proposal.
Last month, we brought it up, and you guys wanted me to check with them about changing the proposal, which is the updated proposal that's here. We're replacing or adding six cameras. He still included the encoders. I asked him about that we were considering not doing, not connecting the old cameras to the new system. And he told me that the difference in price would be about $3,600 for the cost of the licensing and the encoders. Because the software licensing is based on the number of units that are connected to the server. So instead of $21,000, it would be down around what, $17,000. The one thing that he doesn't have on there that we'd have to get ourselves would be a power over Ethernet switch, which a 48 port power over Ethernet switch would be about $1,500. Paul from Griffin thinks it would be just as good to connect the old system to the new system, because we're not looking at, Shelley wouldn't be looking at two different systems to find videos that she needed to look at. So it's up to, you know, if you want me to leave it the way it is, or we can, you know, get the proposal, we can approve the proposal with a not to exceed amount. And I can get them to change it and remove the old system, the old cameras from this new system, or we can leave it the way it is, and he can just convert everything over, and we get rid of the old system altogether. The cameras would stay, the old analog cameras would stay, the wiring for them would stay, and then as we can afford them, or the cameras go down, we would have the old cameras replaced with new cameras.
So this is more than what it was last time.
That's because we added two cameras to it. The original quote was for
16.
Four cameras to be replaced. Uh-huh. Now we're adding. Shelley and I went over where the different areas are that were important to be able to get pictures from
here.
So we came up with six. One would be added in this room. And then two at the front door, one between the two front doors, and then one in the lobby. And then one in the large print area where we had that problem that brought all this up.
And so we're looking to approve this today?
I think we need to move forward with it. Since we're not... We had some creative journaling to pay for the gutter leaf filter. We can use that same idea, take some money out of development fees, or take it all out of development fees, because that's, you know, we have some technology, we have some outside maintenance. There are areas where we can pull money from in the budget that we would be able to pay for that.
You have the treasury. And then we have to decide as a board.
So altogether, with the Ethernet switch, we would be looking at just shy of $23,000.
The Ethernet switch is not included here. Does he have to include this in here?
Pardon?
The Ethernet switch is
the
not.
The Ethernet included. Switch is not part of this.
Okay. So that's something separate.
That's something separate. Yes. I looked it up on Amazon for the one we would need, and it's like $1,450.
Okay, so. Treasure, and then I want to the facilities. You are a teacher, so we have to say volunteer. Susan, do you see where he's saying our funds, and then we have to decide as a board. Is something that we're moving forward on?
Yeah,
camera system we have now is very outdated, and
yes,
the pictures are very bad quality. And there are some areas that are covered.
Right. 6 feet.
Which need to be covered.
Which is the front, two front doors.
The two front doors and large print area.
So you're saying to take it from where we had a budget for the filters or the...
We have some money in development fees, which part of that is for technology. We have outside maintenance. We can do automation for the switch. And Shelly can approve that without our approval, because she's got a $1,500 cap.
Okay, board members.
So we do have money in several places that we could get together and pay for this.
And we're paying one bill, or we're paying it by a down payment?
According to the terms here, we have to pay 55% on acceptance. And then once the project is done, it's 30 for the remainder.
Russ, do you remember what the quarterly costs were?
Quarterly?
So I looked up the old proposals we had, and some of those had like a quarterly, like a maintenance kind of fee.
This is $1,500 for the first, well, the configuration at first year support was $1,500. It's an annual thing.
Okay.
If we want to keep the support.
We need
there is no, like the, some of them, they were doing cloud-based services, so we were paying a quarterly fee for the cloud storage. This is all on-site.
Oh, on-site.
So no, we
cloud.
Didn't need cloud storage.
We didn't need cloud storage. Or if we do for backup, we could probably use an Office 365 account and use a OneDrive, provided this is... I'm not sure what the server software is. Whether it's Windows or Linux. If it's Windows, we can use OneDrive to back up the videos.
And then store it.
We get a terabyte of storage within OneDrive.
What if a camera goes out?
Yeah,
I believe that would be the 1 year support.
Just from the first year?
Yeah.
So they would come out at no charge?
They would come out at no charge.
So then there would be a fee after.
After
yeah, we could pay the fee every year.
It would be $1,500.
That's another cost.
I don't think so. It's the two-hour system configuration. I can get that clarified, what the annual support is.
Yes.
But the first four to get this going, this is what we need to work on ongoing. So we can either pay it or not pay it and pay. You know, depending on the camera, it could either, you know, for paying $500 a year or $1,500 a year, that would buy three cameras. Wouldn't install them, but it would buy three cameras. So it's a cost basis of, you know, which is better. When we end up with 35, 40 cameras, the support would probably be worthwhile.
Well, so I think my understanding is there seems to be a need for this.
Yes.
Because we do have cameras.
Yep.
We don't have adequate coverage.
Right. Adequate quality.
So we need more cameras, and we need eventually better cameras.
Yes.
This is a start. The server is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
$7,000. So this server would handle if we...
It's a 16 terabyte server, which is a lot of video. It's way more than 30 days worth of video.
And then that would take away from having the two different systems that we currently have.
Right.
Which would be better for...
It would take all the old cameras that are left and add them to this system.
And she would only have one system?
And she would only have one system to look at. The quality of the cameras wouldn't change, the old cameras.
But eventually, that's
not a good budget. Eventually, we can budget to have so many cameras replaced.
Right.
Or as they break, we can have them replaced. Mm-hmm. I think it would be more proactive to budget so much a year to replace so many cameras.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yes. Replace 4 cameras every year.
Right. The ones that we can't.
Because we're going to read the cost of the camera and the installation, carrying it out, and software licensing.
You want to know how many cameras we have?
14 existing.
Yeah, we have,
six new?
32 cameras.
30, yeah.
We have about 32 cameras.
16 on the first floor and 12 on the second.
We have a lot of us on the first floor because of people coming in and the children's apartment.
28.
Yeah. Total of 28 cameras.
Yeah. How often do we have to revert back to the video to check for something?
Not often, but right now our current camera system, it's the original one, and we can't seem to capture data from it. The system, what's it running on?
It's a separate.
It's all our
system. It's old. It has been, the recorders have been replaced once because it did fail. So we do have recorders that were put in about 7 years ago because we were on a maintenance agreement with Sound Incorporated.
Yes.
And they replaced it, you know, about 7 years ago.
To answer your question, I have looked back at the cameras since being interim director and director twice for an injury. And it wasn't able to capture the data because the camera was not in the right location.
We have had to go back to it once previously when we had some high school kids sitting on the curved wall out here that were defacing the curved wall.
So it's the quality of the camera that's not picking it up, or it's our system?
The camera's not picking it up. It's not pointed in the right direction.
So, just...
Well, it doesn't capture in the background. It's pointed at the desk.
But you can't see beyond
it. But the activity happened in the background, and the camera did not capture it.
Will the new cameras?
Our
new cameras, well...
Would the new cameras capture the background stuff?
If they were aimed properly and this guy would aim them properly, so yes, they would capture. And eventually, if we find dead spots where we need them, we can always add cameras to where they are needed if that need arises. I've gotten varying opinions on whether the 360-degree cameras are beneficial. I've got one guy that says, yep, you're going to get real good visibility directly out of the camera, and as it pans out, the quality drops off. And I've had people say, yeah, they're good for the whole 360 degrees.
We have we have a line item, you know, computer equipment and software for $15,000 for the year that is, we don't have anything in it. And then we can take the rest, you know, automation or outside repair maintenance, like what's this press said. It's there. It's doable.
Any other questions or any opposed? Or
I would just, I mean, if we're not having to kick back these videos all the time to spend $3,000 additional to put old cameras on a new system, doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense. I would probably keep that money banked, you know, do what we need to do, maybe go with the two systems, and then as we get cameras, we feed them into the new system, that $3,000 we can use towards that down the road versus, is it two systems going to be a pain compared to one? I mean, if we don't have to go back to that the systems all the time.
Well, one of the things is old.
I mean, to me, I agree that seems like a convenience fee. No, you know, I mean, sure, it's inconvenient to look at two, but...
No, absolutely.
It'd be a lot easier to look at one, but that's the cost to look at one versus two is the 3,000.
Right. And just going to help us upgrade down the road, I think, with more cameras.
Right. I mean, I look at it like, because I think we had a quote at one time from maybe Sound
Incorporated
for like 55,000.
To do that was replacing all the controls.
So kind of like a brand new system is probably 60 grand now.
Right. Yeah.
So this is about a third of that cost.
Right.
And then if we could do a third each year,
right,
you know,
and not have to.
So do know, that now, so and then down the road in a couple more years we'd have a new system. And then those cameras we're bringing on would be even newer,
right,
than what we get now. So.
Right.
So what are we going to just motion to?
We could, let's see, what it says approximately $3,600. So we can make a motion. We can do a motion that's not to exceed $18,000. It would be like $17,475 without the approximate $3,600.
So what was
that? Would take that would leave all the old cameras, or leave the remaining old cameras on the old system.
Okay, what was that total?
I would, if I was going to make the motion, I would say not to exceed $18,000.
And that's taking out the extra cameras?
It comes up to like $17,475.
So that's six new cameras.
That's six new cameras.
No encoders.
Server.
Wait,
no encoders.
Six new cameras. Servers.
The software would be a little less than 13. I'm not sure how many less. Because it's not. It doesn't look like it's a one-for-one camera-wise. The server would be the same. The Cat 6 wire would be the same. The installation would be the same. And the support would be the same.
So, you made a motion.
Just take it out a very small amount. I can make a motion to approve the Griffin software or Griffin Systems proposal for our cameras, not to exceed $18,000.
Step. We all in agreement with that? Okay, second. And then are we going to get Mr. Paul for this? With that amount?
I can get a new proposal for it. But
for the next time?
For the next time, just to show what it is.
Yes.
If it goes over $18,000, we'll have to reapprove it. But if we go, you know, the $18,000 should cover it.
Not to exceed, and that's taking out an extra $3,600 from them.
Yes.
Okay, ask another question. Are we paying them for service to the old system then still? Like,
No,
they don't cover that. That's the thing. No, they won't touch it.
Sound Incorporated would still, since we don't have a contract with Sound Incorporated anymore, they would come in on a T&M basis to work on it. So if something happened to the old system, the camera broke or DVR broke, we would just be out of luck, or go back to Griffin, and have them go in and replace move those cameras over.
The cameras break often? Have they broken?
They have broken.
Yeah.
I don't remember how many we've had break, but it's been quite a few.
In the last couple of years.
Since the building has been open, probably in the last 10 years, maybe 5 cameras, 6 cameras,
a lot more
than that.
Okay.
More than that.
That's the only downside.
Yeah.
So, Shelley, what would you recommend for real? Would you recommend that we pay the inconvenience charge of $3,000 so that it be on one system or the two systems? Not what you think we want to hear, but really,
yes,
what do you think in terms of at least the money if we have to call another service fee or something.
I like
being
conservative.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do. So it makes more sense to, as the old cameras die, upgrade them to the new system.
Okay.
So second to the motion of not to exceed.
Did you second?
I seconded.
Okay.
Roll call. Roll call.
Okay, yes. Schumacher?
Oh. Yes.
Ship?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yeah.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Reichstag?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Moving forward
on that one. Next, tax levy, and Mr. Walter is going to go over that for us.
Okay.
Using our packet.
This was all prepared by Rob Ferguson, the finance director of the city. He does this all the time for us. It gets very complicated with the tax, PTEL, property tax. Property tax.
You just looked it up.
I don't. Estimated law limitation. It's basically tax cap. So what we have is the total value of the estimated value of all the property in Yorkville is $623,329,384. New construction is $20,219,396. That is for all of Kendall County. That's not, I don't believe that is all of, I don't believe that is just Yorkville. I believe that's all of Kendall County.
The new construction?
Well, all of it, and the new construction. The state multiplier is a thing that they apply. I've only seen it below 1.0 once or twice. I've never seen it above 1.0. It's supposed to equalize the tax burden across the state so everybody pays the same, but never works out that way. So these are all calculations that are done to come up with the different levy proposals. This was our, obviously the 2020 is what we have currently. And then down in yellow, that would be our new tax levy for 2021. So that's the tax that's levied this year, you'll pay next year. We always ask for the maximum, which currently our maximum is 0.15, but because of the tax cap, it always gets reduced. The library has not seen, we have not never asked for an increase in our tax levy. We've been at 0.15, we've been as low as 0.11 many years ago. We've never really gotten a 0.15 unless the city was filling in the gap between what we did receive and the 0.15. So this is just a lot of paper that shows all the calculations, all the numbers, what's going to go out for the public hearing. We do have on your tax bill, it comes up as one line item, but there's two pieces to it. One is the library operations, and one is the library debt service. The debt service right now is almost equal to what we have as our library operations. At some point, down in 2025. The bonds will be paid for. I think it would be prudent to try at that time go. You know, we have to come up with a justification why we want to keep some of that levy that we're paying. There's no way we can come up with keeping the entire debt service levy. But if we were able to keep maybe half of it for library operations, we could hire more staff, we could all expand our hours, we could replace some of the equipment in the building that's failing, like maybe our chiller.
Sure. It wouldn't increase taxes at all.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a way of the operations budget getting more money without actually raising the taxes on the current taxpayers, and probably reducing them because we would not ask for the full amount. We'd ask for a smaller amount. So there's nothing really to vote on. I believe the levy is being voted on, or they have a public hearing on it tomorrow at the City Council meeting. So we will be, they'll be presenting the library's portion of the levy. You can see it on Exhibit B, down toward the bottom.
Yes.
Where how much we're asking for.
Exhibit A is for.
Oh. Well, Exhibit A. Exhibit A has it on there as well.
A is the city.
Yeah, $934,000 for operations. And $947,000 for debt repayment. For $847,313. That's that eye chart that you can't read. So we will get an increase, but again, January 1st, we have to increase our part-time people by $1 an hour,
right?
Because of the minimum wage. So Rob does a pretty good job of putting it all together for us, because it is complicated. That's what we're getting.
Any further questions, discussion on this topic?
I can make a motion that we approve the tax levy as presented by Rob Ferguson from the city.
Second.
Roll call. Shim.
Yes.
Walter.
Yes.
Chacon.
Yes.
Forrestal.
Yes.
Garcia.
Yes.
Dreifstadt.
Yes.
And Schumacher.
Yes.
On to new business. HVAC duct cleaning proposal.
So one of the times that Margionio was here looking at the chiller, I showed him where we have noticed debris coming from one of the vents that has fallen on one of the desks, and it's soot-like debris. If you touch it and rub it, it rubs like soot. So I had them check that out, and we have never had our ductwork cleaned since the building's been open, so this is a proposal to have all of the ductwork cleaned. Brian, is that normally done on a 3 to 5 year? I kind of did a little searching, and they recommended 3 to 5 year, and I don't know if that was residential or commercial.
Definitely within 10, but I think for future, I would probably say 5.
So that's 16, we'll put that.
Yeah. Yeah. The building is
2007.
Oh, it's 14 years old.
At least not unusual to really go this long, though.
It's not.
I mean, there's really buildings that never get done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, but for the patrons and...
I mean, I don't know, does it hinder the...
I think that's just stuff stirring up in your ducts that's going to get filtered. So I think your filter longevity would be better, like all your coils and things that are inside of the, like the VAVs are very expensive, so I don't know if ours have, I don't think ours have the filters. Some have like filters within the VAVs. I don't think ours are that tight.
I don't think it's like a plastic ceiling. They're all at the air handlers.
You said it was on the desk? Then
we only noticed it because we were cleaning the desks off for book sale, and we noticed all this speckly stuff on the desk.
Okay.
What's the supply allocated? Yeah, in his way, you know.
Okay, I just didn't. I told him to shoot me a proposal and I'd show it to you. I don't know if this is something that is imperative to do, if it can be put off.
Okay, I could ask some people I know what they think.
Perfect. See what they do. Let's go over and do that. Yes. So we'll. Okay, Shelly. So we'll hold off on this one. And he's going to put it on his to do.
Okay.
And give that, you're going to give that to him.
I'll just keep it on unfinished business.
Yeah. Yes. It seems to make sense, but I mean, I don't see people.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Library closings for 2022.
So this has to be done once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I just included what these dates fall on for your board meeting is the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry. Library closings.
Holidays.
Is the first one.
And then board meeting. So we have to approve these.
Yeah.
So we can
so
go.
My only question is. Let me see here. Well, first off, let me. New Year's Day falls on Saturday the 1st. The city is observing it on Friday the 31st. They are not closed for New Year's Eve. We are closed.
Okay.
So that no one doesn't
so that's
matter.
When you change that one.
But moving down to Christmas Eve.
Okay.
That falls on a Saturday, so Christmas is on Sunday this year. The city is observing Christmas Day as Monday, December 26th.
Okay, so are you looking to keep it this or observe it as a city?
I was looking to also be closed on Monday.
Okay. Yes, so we can do that. Board approves that? Motion to approve closed on Monday. Is it on here?
Yeah, it's on the
city. Okay, yes, observe. Okay, so then we just need to approve all of these holidays as a board.
Now, some of these are not paid holidays,
right.
But they're just on here for reference.
Right. So, motion to approve the library holiday schedule for the 2022 year.
Sure.
And then motion to approve our Board of Trustees calendar for the 2020 calendar year. Okay, get roll call for both.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reifstack?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
And Schum?
Yes.
And we don't have to go into executive session tonight, so I need
to adjourn.
Let's.